crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show and we're celebrating episode 250.
I actually had a slight nerves kick in then thinking about that.
Well, you had a panic attack. This is the second time that we're pressing record because I decided to do something different, and rather than saying the normal, it's the Daily Talk Show episode 250, I said we're celebrating episode 250, and then your response was, and it's episode 250.
It shook me to my core. No, it is. I was just speaking to my brother and he said, what are you doing? I said, just about to record episode 250. And at that moment, episode 250 for the year. He knows what we do.
Yeah.
Whether he listens or not is another thing. Yeah. But fuck, we've done it, dude. Yeah. 250 episodes in 1 year.
It's December 31st,
yeah,
also known as New Year's Eve.
Yeah. It's funny. I've had, as I said, 1 year's Eve off getting wasted in 15 years. And this feels like a real placid New Year's for me. It's really lovely. I like it.
But do you get certain tingles? Like, okay, I'm ready for the big... Because it's like when I go to my parents' place and I go to the wagon wheels.
Oh, yeah.
You've just like, it's almost set in...
Patterns.
Yeah.
It's a pattern.
Do you have the pattern where it's like, I better go to BWS before this time?
Well, I think the question, what are you doing for New Year's, is the question everyone asks each other. So I've had a few texts, what are you doing? Are you doing anything?
What sort of mates?
No, just like Jimmy, Conspiracy Jimmy, which we're actually, we're going to have a lunchtime beer.
Could you imagine him Y2K?
No, we were too young, dude.
Conspiracy Jimmy.
We were too young. I think you get, if you're a young person that's in conspiracies, it's quite amazing. You're actually beyond your years because life hasn't fucking rooted you yet. Like, I think people later in life are just like dark on everything. Jimmy isn't this. He's an exception to the rule. But you could imagine a dude who's 50, potentially an alcoholic, just has
Which
had a rough life.
Jimmy is the outlier. Is that what you're saying?
A rough life you're and
like,
you've
If you're like hard. Jimmy, this is what would happen.
Yeah.
But Jimmy's different.
No, he is. He definitely is.
And so how is he feeling about you getting off the booze?
Well, that's what he messaged me. He says, dude, are you drinking? Are you not drinking in 2018? In 2019, sorry. And it's been something I haven't said it yet. I haven't said...
You said it on the podcast. You mentioned you sort no, of I said I was, to the...
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, but the more I think about it, the more I'm doing it.
Yeah, I don't think it shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah. But that's the thing, right? I think there would be a lot of people that... would say, I could do it. But when you start to go, the weddings you got coming up, the things you're doing, and I'm not an alcoholic.
Yeah. Do you think part of it, because the thing that I only realized recently was people do it as social lubricant. I didn't, it didn't actually occur to me that that was even a thing that, the reason why everyone wants to drink is because they're not comfortable yet.
100%. And I think so there's a bunch of things. If you rely on it socially, if you rely on it to have sex, which a lot of people have had majority of their sexual experiences on alcohol, it can be an issue.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's and that's why it's all personal. Just look at your own life. And I think – so at the end of each year, Amy and I sit down, we go – we write out what we've achieved, what are some great things – and then what we want to achieve.
When did you start doing this?
2016. Uh-huh. So 16 and then into 17.
So you've had 2 years of it?
No, maybe this three. No, fuck, we've been together nearly 5 years now.
That's such a long time.
It's crazy.
It's gone so quickly.
Well, hang on, we're celebrating 250. That's a milestone.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yesterday, what were you celebrating?
Oh,
Last night, you're like...
11 years.
11 years.
Of being with Bray.
Yeah.
11 year anniversary. But I've been saying that we've been together for 11 years since probably June. Since Bree and I have been away on our trip, I say, we've been together for 11 years. So we had to think about it. We're like, has it been 12 years or 11 years?
God, you're like the old couple. You're like my mum and dad, but it's 30 something years or 40 years of marriage.
It's pretty crazy.
It, And so how did you celebrate it last night?
Oh, we had some Mexican. So this is the thing. Like we
something a bit different.
Something a bit different. It wasn't Mexican Cantina in Narre Warren, which is my favourite Mexican establishment. For people who don't know, I actually managed I managed their Facebook page on a voluntary basis back in probably 2009, 2010. It's embarrassing if I say it was 2011. I think it was 2010. And they did pay me in Mexican. I went there one day and took photos, and every dish that they brought out, we got to eat. And I took the photo. So it was.
Who needs more than one big dish from a Mexican? It's one of those Mexican restaurants where the servings are fucking generous.
They're amazing.
They're great.
We went to a Mexican place on Chapel Street. It was delicious, actually. Yeah. Couldn't tell you what the name was.
Yeah.
But black beans. We've spoken about black beans before.
Jesus.
They had black beans. So it was really good.
So you're happy. I'm happy that you got black beans for your 11th.
Shredded beef.
11th year anniversary.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Talking about shredded beef.
Oh, Jesus.
One of my New Year's resolutions. It's not really a
less
news
food
resolution.
Talk on the podcast.
More doubling down. No, I our mate Robbie Ward from Quadlock.
Oh, yeah.
Got into, do you know what I'm going to talk about? Think about it. I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I want to get back to my end of year goal stuff. Mate, you can have your food. I'll entertain you with your food talk.
We're definitely going to get to it. No, the slow, fast cooker.
Oh, yeah.
I want that to be a big thing.
So they were doing it at their work. So get into work, put on the thing, and then lunchtime everyone can eat.
But even at home.
Yeah, the worry is that you buy these things and then you go hard and then you fall off. Because you can only eat so much fucking slow-cooked beef.
Well, that's the thing. Well, I think that the because I was getting into – did you ever have my famous lamb? Did I ever cook that for you?
But, dude, there were some days that it was literally the whole thing was that.
Yeah.
I saw you in the morning. You're like, oh, I'm just prepping this. I call you in the afternoon.
It takes a long time.
Oh, I'm just now taking it out. We're just on to stage 7 of the beef.
This is the problem, lamb. This is the problem with working from home. I was watching a YouTube video this morning and I was thinking there was a guy who's like a web developer and he was sort of the ultimate flex really. Imagine if Matt Diavella wasn't a minimalist and really loved luxury goods. And this is what this guy made. So
that's
all of
sick.
A sudden, yeah, it's like really awesome content. But also it's like, man, like he updates his iPhone constantly. He's got like his favorite purchase was his Apple Watch, but he doesn't use any of the apps. He just uses it for the watch.
It's an expensive screen on your arm.
Which is not too dissimilar. The only extra thing I have is I still have the annoying notification to tell me that to stand up or to breathe. Which always happens when I'm fucking... How does it know that I'm having a panic attack every time it tells me to breathe?
Imagine if aliens came down to the earth and were like, you guys need a thing on your arm to tell you to breathe?
Well, the funny thing is I don't even realise how much the looking at the watch is so confronting for people.
Well, it's confronting... So we were constructing some shelving units for our office and... Oh, just the amount of times that like you're sort of assisting, can you hold that, holding this, like fucking holding up an arm because we're constructing a four-legged thing that's going to fall over if one of us takes our hand off and you're just constantly lifting your arm up and you're only doing it because you're getting told to
It's a vibrate. Yeah, it's so like vibrating.
I'd do the same thing. But I was like, I wonder if they're banned for tradies. Like if I had an apprentice on site that was constantly...
Yeah, Mr. 97, no Apple Watch.
No Apple Watch. Well, he doesn't have no iPhones. So
no,
he's got
Android,
no Apple products.
No Fitbit.
No, definitely not. You have a Fitbit, you're out.
No, but the I want to get into the do not disturb.
Yeah, I like that.
So,
I like that.
But so you write down, so you started, this is probably your fourth year of doing it.
Yeah. To be honest, we fell off 1 year. We kind of half-assed did it. But it's...
What was the first year like? Because it's like very
really
sort of
good.
Rainbows and sunshine, so it's all like very optimistic.
What's great is going 17 to, sorry, say 15 to 16 and then at the 16, the end of 16 into 17, you look back at what you set out for 16 and then you see if you've actually
Do you remember
done
what
it.
You set out?
No, this was coming from like leaving radio to getting into making more videos and then to starting my own business.
Yeah.
I've achieved a lot of those things.
Yeah.
The biggest takeaway is that they're never high enough. You're not never setting the buyer higher because it's like if you actually have achieved them all, it's like, well, maybe you've just set them low because you know you'll achieve them. Mm. And it's like if you actually if you maybe a good thing is to write it out and then go, okay, what's the how can you extrapolate from that to go even bigger on each one of those? So it could be a good thing to go, your lizard brain's telling you to fucking set it low or whatever it is and then just double down.
So it's like you could almost have like those stretch goals where it's like I'm going to do three that I technically shouldn't be able to do this year but if I work really hard I'll be able to do it.
Yeah, or just go – because I could convince myself that what I've written down is like to my capacity or like, no, I'm not putting those restrictions.
Yeah.
But if you were to just go, okay, write whatever it is, don't judge it, but then write it again, judging it based on let's go fucking higher.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to do that. Amy and I are going to do that this evening. We're gonna
what do you write it in?
Just some books. We've got some crappy books.
Because I worked out what I'd been doing. See, my phone, let's see, my watch just vibrated. Oh, I got a message.
That's well, now you got to read it out.
It's Peter Shepherd. It says, sounds perfect, mate. Usual time of 6:30 or should we treat ourselves to 7 a.m.? That is one of my 2019 goals there, the Walking Book Club.
Yeah.
Only member so far is Peter Shepherd. And he's fucking – he's already first week back saying, mate – I know we say 6:30, but should we treat ourselves to 7?
Nah.
Mate.
Message him back.
Go hard or go home.
2019, the 5 a.m. club.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to – because of that, we're moving the book club fucking earlier.
Yeah, the 5 a.m. walk club. Jeez, double down.
But and now this is the other problem with the Apple Watch is I completely lose my train of thought.
I've got it. So you were saying
– I'm writing stuff
about
down.
Writing stuff, yeah.
So I actually remember specifically – mustn't have been last year, but the year prior, because Bree and I were in WA last year. And the only reason, by the way, I knew there was our anniversary is because Bree worked it out through Facebook memories.
Classic. This is perfect.
I've deleted Facebook. Like it's actually – I downloaded – yeah, I downloaded all of my content, 2 gig. It took like
– how does it actually give it to you?
In a zip.
And then
you can either do it as
legit photos, like
you can do it either as HTML or JSON, and JSON's like a more sort of complex language.
Mm.
The HTML one, it's got like all the file structure, like the folder structure, and you can click through and you can see all of the photos, all of your status updates.
That's great.
And so I think I must have made Bree an admin of either you're an admin or Bree's an admin of all of my old accounts. Which you're looking like, what the fuck, what do you mean? But like say big media company, you and I are both an admin of it. So I could get out of it and it wasn't going to shut it down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so it's the same with, I think with Josh Jansen, facebook.com/Josh Jansen. Yeah. I still want the name and that is my sort of public profile, which I've never done it. I've never had an audience big enough to fucking justify doing anything with it. But I think Bree must have that. But anyway... So last year we were in WA, can't remember what I did in regards to the resolution stuff. But the year before I remember I had a field notes book and I wrote this like pretty big list around, I'm sure it was like the same shit every year. Mm. Read more, drink more water, meditate daily, just all of this shit, right?
Yeah.
Walk for at least an hour a day. But the problem is, there's a couple of problems. The main one is that I find that I write it down and then I close that book or I fucking lose the book and I'm like, it's like a year later. I'm like, remember this book? Let's see. And then I look back, I'm like, I didn't do any of them.
So you're saying you need, so what we did was 1 year wrote in one, ripped out the pages. The next year had another book. So we've put them into this book.
Yeah.
So both Amy and I have a book that we use. And so you can, it's like the one place. It's like building, we're trying to build a habit, but that habit is only sort of twice a year.
Well, should we end? Is there value then in putting it somewhere where you can see it every day?
Yeah, I get, that is a good thing. So you can, maybe it's a calendar reminder.
I reckon the
to
physically
open up the book.
Okay, a calendar reminder. And I said the thing is that requires an extra step.
Mm.
I feel like you want it in your face. You want it at a point where it's like it's everywhere. So it's like I could imagine putting it at my desk or putting it in like on the bathroom mirror. Or Brie would not allow that, by the way. Absolutely not. I'm like, blue tack, it's fine. Like, no! I'm like, what about one of those whiteboards? No! No, she's... No, she specifically Brie.
That was a blend of your mum.
Yeah, exactly.
And a new version of Brie that Brie I've never seen.
Brie's very particular when it comes to
style.
Yeah, style and just like anything that's permanent. Like I don't know what's going to – I have a feeling that Brie says like when we're in rental properties, we can't put anything on the walls because of the lease. I can guarantee you when we buy an apartment, there's going to be a new excuse about not putting anything on walls.
Yeah. But, well, your house was quite stylish. Yeah. So it was all to Brie.
Yeah, 100%. So what is the – where could you put it?
I think – yeah, at your desk –
too personal because this is the problem. I was doing
you don't want to share it all.
I was doing a gratitude journal that was in the same book as where I took notes for work.
Yeah.
And so I'd have a client meeting, I open up my thing, and it's like all these fucking I'm grateful for, I'd be writing.
That. So I think the reoccurring one step of creating a calendar reminder and then creating a ritual. Of doing it once a week, opening up. So Amy and I have said we're going to do more like of the date nights, like the barefoot date nights.
Could you put a number to it? Because I feel like the do more, that's where the other sort of the second part is they're these sort of vague things that are hard to measure.
Mm.
So it's like, oh yeah, I want to drink more water. Whereas if you say like, I am going to fill up this bottle three times a day and you have to drink that, then you know that you're actually hitting that mark. Yeah.
Dude, here's the reality. All these things we set out and the one thing that was stuck to was this podcast.
Yeah. What do you reckon it's – why? Yeah.
I'm trying to work it out. So there's a few things. It's having someone else.
Mm-hmm. So there's the accountability buddy thing.
But I've done
thing.
Things with other people as well.
But I'm pretty relentless. I think that we're both – the proper amount of relentless. Mm. I think that early on it was a good point in my work where I think that you would agree that I go hard on things.
Yeah.
And I think obsessive. That very obsessive. And probably the benefit was that I was able to sustain the obsession to an amount that then ticked you over to being committed.
I think it's like if you had a business and you start making a bit of money and then you start seeing the possibility of that money growing and growing and growing. And so maybe your obsession and my sort of okayness, like I never thought I'd have a podcast. I wasn't really – I'm not a radio person.
Yeah.
I've never geeked out about radio.
I get you.
No, yeah, like there was kids that like, no, I love it.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
sure.
Like, dude, you don't weren't really having care for the medium.
You weren't having a radio in your bedroom.
No, but I think for me, I'm still not – a podcast guy, but I love what this does for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could then go, well, then you are technically the podcast guy. But it's like, no, the things around it, I'm more obsessed with video medium in terms of like my genuine interest for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you could then say, well, why haven't you made 250 videos for the year?
Mm.
Are you not more into the thing that you do more? Which could be a good case to go, well, it technically is. You're just pushing back against it. So,
what was the formula?
For you, I think there's one side of like my – I was very encouraged by your thoughts around I haven't seen Daily Show happen.
Yeah.
I'm sort of convinced. And so I was like excited by your sort of understanding of what was happening.
I think the domain name as well.
Yeah.
I reckon like having all of that
for
stuff.
For me, it's like it is great.
Yeah.
I've loved your sort of excitement around it and then doing it and then sort of gamifying it. It's like, nah, we're not fucking missing it.
Yeah.
You know, the one time, as you pointed out, episode, what is it? Four?
Four or five, you were sick?
Oh, I was so sick.
It was called, it's like the Craig Harper episode.
Yeah. I was more sick on episode 130 where
you vomited.
I vomited on the show. I ran to the bathroom, spewed, and you actually left it in there.
Yeah.
You could hear it. And then I came back in, finished the episode.
I remember because I was editing and I turned up the volume and Brie said no.
Okay,
she said, it's enough. Well, you can hear it enough. You don't need to turn it up. Because when I turned it up, you could really hear like it's like – yeah, and you hear the room tone just go up. So I see it's really –
Hit more.
And then you come back.
But I think it's like – so, yeah, I was willing on the fourth to – say, let's use some pre-recorded.
Yeah.
But not further down the track because you go, nah, we've done this.
Well, I sold it where I remember I was at Woolworths in Abbotsford and I did a little bit on the iPhone where I said, Tommy's sick today and so he's got this audio from a video he did with Craig Harper of his 15 don't give a fucks or whatever. What is it?
What 12
rules for fucking life.
Yeah, 12 fucking rules for success.
Yeah, that's it.
Each one of them has a fuck in it. That's why. He uses the...
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. A lot of cut through.
But imagine if you didn't... You're like, oh, we'll just miss that one.
Yeah,
if we'd broken... Imagine if one of us sort of broke off. That's the thing. That's why I don't think it's the formula is find someone else.
Yeah.
Because you could find someone else and it still won't work.
Well, finding someone else can also be the excuse. Yeah. Matt Diavel is a fucking great example of completely... You know, he used... his skills to be able to add value to Josh and Ryan at the Minimalists and collaborated and all that sort of thing. But he's also built his own thing, which is Chuchin and doing really well. I just said Chuchin.
Chuchin.
It's really taking off.
Shout out to Conspiracy Jimmy. Yeah, that's one of his favourite.
And so I think that maybe the formula is around joining this chain.
Mm.
So for instance, all right.
Here we go.
The Seth Godin book.
Yes.
I'm still writing.
Okay. How much have you got to go?
I've still got 100 pages to go.
Okay. That's a fair bit.
It's still a lot to go.
It was a bit, but as we worked out, it's a big feat.
But we're still, it's still on.
Well, you know that has it, so.
The problem is, this has been my problem, is I set out initially on like the 5th or 10th of December, whenever I said I was going to do it, I extrapolated over the month and said, okay, I just need to spend 2 hours. And then before you know it, it's like, okay, like 2 hours a day.
Yeah,
and then it was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll work better if I just do 10 hours in one day. It's literally my studio arts.
Mm.
But I haven't done this much at all. And so why was that? Why am I still – because it's 100% getting done. And the guilt that I had because I was like – I said to Seth that I'd – I was doing it on the 31st, but the thing was it was a created deadline because I think I knew in the back of my head, Trevor Long said the $500 as long as it's done by
January
31.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And yeah, I haven't hounded you about it because I've
still got another month.
Yeah, because I knew that date. Yeah. Like Trevor's going to donate $500 to charity and I know you can do it in the next month. And so the logic of – so the theory – that you came up with was 2 hours a day, which it would have worked.
Yeah.
Which I think is like for someone who wants to do anything, if you actually do, if you want to be a better, if you want to be a video person, legit, if you actually just blocked out 1 hour a day to learn, you're so good in a month, which it's such easy.
It's easy. So, it sounds so simple when when you break shit down, if you wrote a page every single day for the next year, you'd have 365 pages. You'd have an entire book.
Yeah. And if you actually took that advice, because this podcast, it's the easiest piece of advice and it's actually the hardest piece of advice because it's hard in the repetition and because each day you feel differently.
Yeah.
We're not just these beings that are super steady constantly at the same time of each day except for your poo routine. That's pretty regular
and in the morning, then shower.
Yeah, it's very consistent. I actually haven't met someone that's as consistent as you.
Really?
Yeah.
Harper?
Yeah, he's pretty consistent.
I could imagine he would have his little almond meal. 100%. Definitely. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, he's another regular. So you two, you're both very regular guys.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this has been super easy and super hard.
So it's not using motivation. So it got to a point where it was a non-negotiable that was just going to happen because it's not even like we have done it at the same time every day.
No.
Like we have done it. You know, we're doing this now at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
But sometimes we've done them at 9:30 p.m.
Mm.
We've done them – I've gotten it out just before midnight.
Yeah. So there's – so it's we've just restricted it to 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so that's been the game.
Yeah.
It cannot tick. Hamish Blake's episode 100.
Yeah.
Our biggest episode. I mean,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
We got it out literally at 11:50 p.m.
And he was he came over at like 10 or
yeah,
9.
Yeah, got off a plane,
yeah.
Drove to your place, yeah. And we did the episode. That was
yeah.
sick.
Yeah.
But it was a game. I was like, oh, I can't go until yeah. this. It's cool. And so you were massively rewarded in whatever you do if you show up constantly. But even saying that sounds like, oh, well, then well, you just show so up constantly.
But it also sounds so grandiose. Yeah. I think that's like when we started doing the podcast, can you go to our Instagram and just go to the very first photo?
Yeah.
I fucking love, you know, the best thing about this episode, what it is for me.
What is it?
Nostalgia. It feels, I know it's only been a year, but I feel like I'm already like thinking about how long. I remember after doing the first few episodes, we'd go to Dr. Morse in Abbotsford and would get a coffee,
yeah,
which is a place just around the corner where I used to live on Turner Street. So the first photo I think is like me in a red T-shirt.
No, that's no. That's
oh, this is three photos the upside down photo.
No, so it's literally just a screenshot of the Apple podcast app with episode 2 on there and it says, yo, Josh here, Tommy and I are doing a podcast. Hashtag The Daily Talk Show. A new episode every weekday, around 30 minutes, available on iTunes and at our website. So it's very bad. It's just,
and what date was it?
That date.
Was it January 15?
17.
Okay. January 16, I think, was our first. So January 16 is going to be our 1 year anniversary of the show.
You know what? Looking back, just look at that.
Yeah. Well, you look young, so young.
Yeah, we're fucking aged. But
there's a photo of Tommy on a couch. You've got like
how it's different your couch was it? At your house.
Yeah,
and what it actually, I actually think about how that felt.
Yeah,
and thinking about equipment you use, it's just different. It's just more comfortable.
Now,
it was all I think about those times. It was really uncomfortable.
We had two USB microphones plugged
yeah.
in. We're using the annoying holding MIDI setting. I was using a big Atlas. To put the mic on top so yeah. it gave it enough.
It felt sort of new.
Povo.
It felt povo,
yeah.
and it felt just unknown doing that then.
Mm.
And so, yeah, looking back, it is nice looking back and thinking about those early days. Makes me cringe and makes me happy.
I think the account of the other interesting thing is. With that, we did 20 episodes before we – so I set up the Daily Talk Show Instagram account, but I didn't tell anyone about the podcast yeah. until we'd hit episode 20.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until February that we said, hey, everyone, we're doing it.
I said to you today that – so if you're listening and you've wanted a podcast, I'll just say it to you. Yeah. If you have ever wanted to do a podcast and you think you've got an idea for it, if someone said to you – in the first year of doing your podcast, you'll have 100,000 downloads.
Yeah.
Which to me, if you said that to me at the start of the year, I'd be like, holy fuck, dude, yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah.
And if they said you have to do it 5 days a week, I would say get fucked.
Yeah.
Because that's too much work. But that's what we're going to have, over yeah. 100,000 downloads in the very first year of doing this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So if – but it, yeah, it's – so why can't anyone else have that? There's every reason why they could do
well,
that.
I don't even – where I do is I go into self-reflection. It's like, why can't I have this in other areas of my
yeah,
life?
Yeah.
And so if we can actually take that process and apply it to different things like us going to the gym,
yeah.
I think that it's being as serious – I think with the podcast, I was super serious. I think that was part of it.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean, I hated how you wore a suit for the first 20 episodes.
It was hot. It was summer.
It's business. Yeah. This is fucking business, Tommy.
But I think that's the a part of it too is it's a, it's also when you tell, there's a great TED talk around when you tell people about your resolution. It basically lets off the same chemicals in your brain as if
Mate,
you did it.
It's like people chasing cocaine. They're getting the release of dopamine in their brain, actually chasing, like, let's call a dealer. Like, there's been studies. It's a similar thing.
I thought you meant, like, just thinking about getting the coke is like taking the having the coke. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So really? Thinking about it and getting
excited.
Should we
go find some coke? Not actually take it.
I'm rushing. I've got a head rush right now. No, but it's the same thing, right? It's like telling someone, it's like you've done it by talking about how you're going to start training. Yeah. I'm going to eat real well.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the routine, split routine, back, legs, shoulders.
Uh-huh. Here's one thing. If you have spoken in 2018 about social media and its negative impact on you, shut the fucking things down and don't tell anyone.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about public promises.
Yeah.
And I made a public promise at the start of this year about – so my thinking was – I want to make 100 videos and post them to my YouTube channel within 2018.
Yeah.
Have I done that? No.
No.
How many have I done? More than last year.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it, when you look at it like that?
Yeah, I did more than last year. And am I okay with that? Yeah, but what I've learned is that those public promises, you do them because you think it's going to give you accountability. But I've felt that it's not the thing that actually gives you accountability.
Yeah.
Imagine how many videos on YouTube there is of people making promises. This is what I'm going to do for my channel.
Hey guys, I'm back. Yeah. That's like the fucking comment. Hey guys, sorry I took a break on YouTube.
Yeah, Casey Neistat, I'm going to, there's going to be a video every single day. And I'm fucking pumped. Yeah. My adrenaline's going, oh my God, he's back. He's back. But it almost gets you excited. It's the playing in the motivation. It's playing in the reliance on the motivation. Because me creating that video and saying I'm going to do this actually gave me motivation for about a month.
It's instant gratification.
Yeah.
And instant gratification fuels motivation, but motivation is temporary.
Mm.
And so I've learned that if I listen, I watch something online and I get motivated or get excited, I discredit it for the most part. If I have a conversation with someone and I get motivated, I'm like...
It's like red flags are going up.
Yeah, it's not red flags, but it's almost like that meditation thing. It's like the car, seeing a bunch of cars driving past and, do you enter it? And for me...
Do you walk across the road?
Yeah, and so...
I do. Is that part of it? Dangerous.
It's very dangerous. There's a lot of cars. But that idea of, okay, I realize I'm getting excited, but that isn't the, like, it's only going to be good if, and then putting some sort of stretch goal and saying, okay, well, I can't actually get excited about this at all unless I've done at least 50 episodes.
Mm.
So I reckon there's two parts of it. I think it's thinking short term by small chunks, bite-sized pieces that you can do regularly.
Mm.
For me, I think fucking daily anything is very, like, is the best approach for me because there's also a bunch, if you look online, around the power of crossing things off, right?
Mm.
So having a calendar, it's like the, I remember watching this show on MTV called Made, where it was like, I want to be a cheerleader over summer. And so they will basically have cheerleading trainers so that by the end of it, they'll be a cheerleader. Or it's like, I'm morbidly obese and they fucking they get so trim.
Mm.
And the awesome thing is they put up these, all the numbers in the days and every single time they've done it, they tear off one of the numbers. You will remember Dan DeBoof a couple of weeks ago, or last week, was talking about how at the beginning of the show, we said, oh, we're at episode 240, whatever it was. And just think, like, that count, that number for me has been a huge motivating factor.
Yeah. Yeah. I think definitely the promises thing, and that's why I'm apprehensive when you say you get a drink next year. It's like I'm more apprehensive to say it, not because I don't think I'll do it, but how I don't think it. Like, I could imagine if I owned it next year, documentary about my year without alcohol. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, and I reckon it'd be way harder doing it that way. I think that's, for me, it's like, it's what overcomplicated. You know what? The best thing that's happened to me about this writing this Seth book is it has made me appreciate reading because it takes me. I was timing it yesterday when I was like on my iPhone. It takes me over like 10 minutes to write a single page.
Yeah.
10 fucking minutes. Before that, I was like reading. What are you doing with your hands? What was that?
I had a little crumb in my fingertips.
But you're sort of doing like a money, money sort of
thing
with your fingers.
You got some cash, bro?
Yeah, got a little bit. Yeah. What? I thought you were saying, yeah, time. 10 minutes. Ooh, money, money.
No, no.
Money, money.
Now they're sticky. Ugh.
Anyway. It's not good. But anyway, so the all of a sudden started to appreciate reading so much more. I was craving reading. It's like when I did the fucking, you do a diet and all of a sudden, a fruit feels a bit naughty. Geez, that nectarine tastes good. And all like you've recalibrated. So you overcorrect and then recalibrate. Mm. You do, but like say for, I was reading Cadence, a book by a guy named Pete Williams, who I followed on Twitter for a long time. He's got preneur marketing, does like he was a guy who sold – basically he got something – I think it was either the bricks or the wood or something from the old MCG stands.
Oh, yeah.
And he was
– It could have been the wood from the seats.
Yeah, wood from the seats. Yes. I think that's what it was.
I've seen that shit.
And he would turn it into a memorabilia thing and sell it for $500 that's and he sick. Did it. His headline was – own your piece of the MCG.
That's great.
And he was a young dude and he sold heaps. Anyway, he's got a book called Cadence.
Melbourne dude.
Melbourne dude. Sick. And he's been on Small Business, Big Marketing.
Timbo Reid.
Yeah. His podcast. But in his book Cadence, he was talking, which I really recommend. It's very sort of practical, quick read. Mm. But they were talking about if you want to get to doing like a fast marathon or if you want to say if you're doing a triathlon, there's a certain amount of kilometers you have to do. And what he was saying was they basically use this metaphor throughout the whole thing of a guy who's getting ready for an Ironman. And the guy was getting frustrated. He's like, I'm still only doing 10. Why have you only prescribed me to do 10 kilometers right now? He's like, well, you need to get down to, you know, 6 minutes, like 5 minutes, 30 seconds or whatever it is. I don't fucking remember the numbers per kilometer to be able to reach this goal. If you're not doing the 10 kilometers under an hour, then you're not ready to go up. So the point being is it's like if your goal is like the marathon, what is that first step? Like if you want to make...
It's not the marathon.
Yeah. If you want to make $1 million... You need to first, and he talks about it in the book, you first need to make $100 and then you need to make $1,000 and you need to be able to make $10,000 and then $100,000. Mm. How many people fucking think about the $1 million that they're going to make and they're yet to make the $100,000?
Mm. Yeah, it's great. I think it feels a bit like you've hacked it when you actually can work out the consistency. Whether the success on the other side is what you think it will be is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel a bit like, oh, we've hacked it.
Yeah.
We've actually got the thing of like showing up each day.
And it hasn't felt that hard.
No.
It's only felt hard in moments, but they're always temporary.
Yeah.
I think definitely doing it together has helped.
Yeah, that definitely has.
But the other thing, so one of my theme for 2019.
You go the word.
It was sort of like a word theme. So what I'm doing
P.
this
Diddy's
year.
He's doing a word.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his word?
Persistence.
That's good.
It's good.
So, Jason Fox, who we've had on the show, he talks about the word. He's always got really great words for each year. But mine is around the theme of – so the word is intentional. The longer version of that, the theme, is intentional consumption. And so intentional consumption, what does that come down to? That comes down to the intentionality in what I eat, intentionality in what I consume in regards to what apps do I have on my phone, what am I clicking on to, where am I spending my time when I'm on the computer. I've noticed that even though that I've gotten off all my social media accounts, I still manage to be clocking up hours every day on the iPhone.
You're refilling the hours freed up with something else, another vice.
Exactly. And so that's the other big thing. If you're trying to get rid of a habit, having that replacement habit is super important.
Do you think the opposite's also true? Because you could look at – it's something that we've talked about, the alcohol thing for me and then the social media thing for you. Or even when I've said, oh, but maybe I could just do a few of the social medias, it's like if you're edging on not doing them and then actually just getting rid of it altogether.
Well, I think that it's probably for you with the alcohol thing. I think the thing that would help potentially is saying, I'm replacing this year, I'm replacing all alcohol with sparkling water or soda water. And that gives you a mechanism. That gives you a mechanism every single time where you can say, I need to get, I feel like alcohol, or I'm in a situation where I want alcohol, I'm going to have this fizzy water.
Yeah.
And then we start to build that in as the thing that replaces it. And then you're in social settings and it feels like you're almost having a beer. You get the, you're actually getting some of those sort of residue of the experience that you were having previously.
Yeah. What I do like about, because I said this to my brother about 2019, no alcohol. He's like, yeah, why do you need to put that on it? Why can't you just go, I'm going to see how long I can do this for? And for me, it's like it feels the similar thing to replacing it, because if I have a parameter on it, 1 month, 1 year. And so when people ask, are you going to drink? No, I'm actually doing 2019 no alcohol. I feel like it's something nice to say.
Yeah.
If someone, I think we want a response to some people. So what's your response if someone says, oh, why, what's this social media thing? Why are you not?
Well, I think that that's part of it. For me, it's been a journey in Brené Brown from our Peter Shepherd, who we've had on the show, and is part of my walking book club of one. He was talking about Brené Brown. And she talks about being in the arena and only taking feedback from people who are in the arena, and that she has this list of people in her wallet that when she gets feedback, she checks the list. And if the person's on the list, if it's one of her close sort of associates or friends or family, she'll take that on. Otherwise, she'll disregard it or not give it the impact. And so I think, like, for me, getting off social media, doing that whole alcohol thing, it is, you are being the exception to the rule. You're doing something outside of, you're going against the current. And so naturally when you get a go against the current, there's a lot of sticks, there's a lot of, there's a lot going on that's pushing you the other way. And so I think that's probably being okay in not having to respect that answer that much. You don't have to, you don't have to justify it to anyone. It's like, so in some regards, it's just like you can go for the easiest answer that's going to give the least amount of friction, because unless you really respect the person, unless the person's on that list, then you might want to go into it more. But it's like, oh, I'm just having a break.
Yeah, it's like when people who are, I reckon there's probably vegans out there that have actually, or some people that have said that they're allergic to some things. Like, oh, I'm actually allergic. Because no one argues with the person that's, you sure? You sure you're not gluten? You sure you
can? Yeah, you sure you, sure you are celiac? Sure you're just not trying to shred?
No, it's good. I think, yeah, this year for me, I don't think I've, it's been a funny year because I've, it's been super hard, but I've enjoyed it a lot. But I definitely haven't been the person I want to be, but not in a negative way. I haven't been some fucking outrageous asshole that I'm devastated about. But I look at it and go, I don't think I have been that person I've wanted to be. There's a lot of improvement I want to make, and I'm not down about that.
So where do you start?
Yeah, I see the alcohol thing as one, an area to sort of just make sure that I've got nothing that is external, and I'm not relying on anything external, not that I do.
But it's interesting because like I haven't seen alcohol affect us or what you're doing in any, like, it's not as.
Yeah, but maybe I've convinced myself that it's like
a problem.
I need to get rid of it.
Yeah. And maybe that's the tokenistic thing. Maybe that's a step that you need to take to be able to maybe, you know, don a different fucking mask. Maybe that's something. Maybe that's something from your younger years, or something that's holding you back, or making you feel like the old Tommy. It's like me with certain foods. It's like if I have fast food, I start feeling like
the kid,
that kid,
yeah,
the fat kid. And so if I just take it out, it's like, oh, yeah. You don't need to take out everything. But if it makes you feel completely different, I've only had a couple of days of being like more intentional with my eating and I just feel happier. So it's like, oh, it's just everything. I just get this sense of everything's going to be okay. Whereas when I'm eating poorly, my default thinking is not everything's okay. I can't pinpoint what it is, but shit's going to go wrong.
Yeah, it's the person you want to be is actually hard. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. And so that's why I think if I can just give myself the best chance of becoming that person.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I haven't got my word for the year yet. I've still got a few hours.
Chuchin.
Gronk.
I wanted to say thank you to a bunch of people who have emailed us. I'm just going through like Michelle, B-Mac, the early days, Jody sent us an email, just literally got Trev sent us a bunch, went on the show. We're looking forward to it. I think we'll get him on when he's at CES in January.
Yeah, great.
So in the coming days, I'm literally just scrolling through a lot from Michelle's always got good banter. I'm up to the North Korea rep. Remember we did the North Korea? Yeah. Fuck, we've done some interesting shows.
He was in North Korea when we spoke to him.
China. He was just
in China, just came back from North Korea.
Yeah. He wouldn't have had access otherwise.
No.
Derek, massive thanks to Derek.
Scooter Dez.
He's fucking amazing.
Mr. 97,
obviously.
Seth Godin, sorry about all the emails.
Yeah.
From Josh.
Rob.
Robbie Ward.
Gemma. There's a lot. Gemma, who else? There's just so many. I'm literally just
Wayne Peters.
Shout out
to Wayne.
Oh, yeah, Wayne. Massive shout out to Wayne.
Cindy. Yeah. Dude, we send out a heap of stickers.
Matt as well, Matthew.
Yeah.
We're not doing last names anymore just because that was a clusterfuck. we've actually gotten heaps of emails. I'm going through. It's a lot of them. Rowie, thanks, mate. Russ Keys.
Yeah.
Ruru. Fuck. Hulk smash.
Yeah. Conspiracy Jimmy.
Conspiracy Jimmy, of course.
He sends self-destructing emails. BK.
Fucking.
It's been good.
Yeah.
Appreciate the troll.
See, this is the thing. Oh, Kyle.
Yeah.
Luke, who got some stickers.
It's cool, man. I always watch people like thanking, YouTubers. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
Andre.
For my audience. It's like, but I actually,
Anthony.
I'm actually doing that right now. I'm doing
Santiago.
Oh,
no, but I think it's fucking good. Like it's
crazy. At the start of the year, I didn't know most of these people.
Yeah.
I knew some of them.
This is all.
But these are people we never met.
Yeah.
Most of them we've never met. And they're taking the time. So fucking thank you.
Absolutely. Now I'm getting paranoid that I'm forgetting anyone. Let's have a look. I'm just going to have a quick last looking at all the people who have asked for. Danny. Fucking train driver, yeah. Danny.
Fucking Danny.
Neil. Thanks, mate. I think that's. We've had a bunch of people. And also Harps. Fucking Harps.
Craig Harper. You could have asked me. I mean, this was very off the cuff, but I have the email list of people that we've sent stickers to.
Oh, yeah. I just had a look at the
And so, yeah, I can just do a quick one if you want.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah. Tom, Ethan, Matt.
Oh, do you know what this sounds like?
Cindy, Neil, and Danny. Yeah.
This reminds
Nuno,
me.
Of Andre.
I've said
Cassidy, Anthony. Fuck yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of? The Easter Good Friday appeal when they fucking Home and Away stars that can't read have to read out complicated names. It's like, oh, we've got John from Berwick who's donating $100 and he said he will double it if it's said on TV.
That's so funny.
That's sort of shit.
Yeah, it is probably the most boring thing to ever
hear. Peter Shepherd, did I mention Human Periscope? Should. And we had awesome guests as well.
Oh, yeah. How many guests did we have? Because my brother said to me, who's your guest? I said, no, it's just us. I would say not even 30, maybe 30. You reckon 30 people? 30. I reckon 30 is a reasonable amount.
Yeah. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email.
Samantha, also, she's listening. Oh, yeah, to Samantha. Samantha's big fan.
I mean, she had a whole episode about her the other day.
But if, so it's the end of the year. It's such a great if you were to conjure or create a story, and that's this is why the end of the year is such a great part of the narrative to go, it's this cutoff point, you know, tomorrow I can then start fresh, which is the red flags for you, or the sort of warning signs of the motivation.
Because
it does give you that.
But if it gives it to, like, if we know anything, Seth Godin talks about the placebo effect.
Yeah.
It's real. And so if it feels real to you, if it's like, if this is what it takes right now, you are, so, you know, say the thing, commit it to yourself.
Mm.
Like, I've done it. Like, we did it with the podcast.
Yeah.
And we've done it. And now, like, I'm ready for 10 years. Yeah. We've got 10 years and we're doing it, and I know we can do it. And we'll look back and be like, fuck, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But
that's good, mate. 1,000 episodes. Yeah.
And we've fucking started a big media company as well.
Oh, yeah. We got a business too.
Yeah. We went from fucking having our own businesses, doing our own thing, to bringing it all together as well. Mm.
It's been a massive year.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Hi, thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us any emails. Otherwise, we'll see you for episode 256
tomorrow.
We need to organise how we're doing that because it's a public holiday.
Mate, we've got no option. We'll get it done before midnight.
We will. Catch you guys.
See you guys.